Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. December makes us want to pull out some of our performances that we did at the various ART Christmas parties. North Pole, My Beat was one of our first homegrown audio dramas written by Renard LaBeouf, kind of based on Broadway's My Beat, you know?
To start, it's an original script written by me, Renard LaBeouf, called North Pole, My Beat.
The North Pole is my beat. From the files of the Polar Police Force comes a tale of the stunning and unusual, the chilling and the unbelievable. Welcome to another episode of North Pole is my beat. We go now to the highest reaches of the Arctic Circle, where a mystery has just been reported to the PPF on the snowbound night of December 26.
View of windswept tundra and cold hot blasts of wind strong as a double rum toddy here at the North Pole. So here I am, the night of the 26th, mushing over Arctic fields to the hidden enclave of one K. Kringle, a.k.a. Santa Claus. I'm Detective Wendy Doppler. My companion on this dog sled is Corporal Mince, a holiday elf who couldn't turn out a toy if his life depended on it. So he joined the police force. Watch the bumps, Corporal.
Right, Detective. Yeah.
We'd gotten a call from the Kringle's very unlisted phone number. It just wouldn't do to put the post office out of work by letting kids phone or fax in their holiday letters. And mail's slow up here, having to come overland from the nearest mail stop 1,000 miles away. The Kringles like their privacy. And with 120 elves and 9 rambunctious reindeer, they see little enough of it. Only an emergency would warrant this visit after the holiday.
We're almost to the Kringle homestead, Detective. What about the other officers?
Sergeant Speltz and Patrolman Curtis should be there already. They took the snowmobile directly from the office.
So, you spent the day with the two kids?
Yeah. I fell asleep after watching Ed and Amanda with their new toys. I never thought I'd get a call to go to the big guy's place so soon after his annual run. But, in police biz, it's always unexpected. Mince and I arrived at the Kringle place after 10 p.m. As we approached the giant chalet-style building, I could have sworn someone was watching us from behind a nearby tree. But when I looked again, nothing. Inside, Speltz was taking a statement from Mrs. Kringle. Sergeant, what have you got?
Patrolman Curtis and I have arrived at 9 o'clock. I have the statement from Frau Kringle and check the perimeter for signs of breaking, which would be easier with some daylight. The patrolman is talking to employees. Other than that, I have found nothing.
Even noon is dark in the Arctic Circle winter. What did Mr. Kringle say?
Frau Kringle reported her husband missing. He received a phone call telling him to come to the reindeer games for a special treat cookie over 12 hours ago.
The callers knew the Kringle's number. Mrs. Kringle, you do realize it's not a missing persons case until an adult has gone over 48 hours.
But you don't understand, officer. My Christopher is never gone so long without some word. Married as long as we've been, he just couldn't. Especially after I gave him a new cell phone. He was so tired of having to send messages by elf to all those reindeer. It was a lovely phone, too. Shaped like a gingerbread man. His favorite.
His love of cookies is legendary, but that's still not enough.
Well, I've just been so busy lately. I didn't notice he hadn't come back until it was so late since I've been,
Since what, ma'am? I noticed the entire table had plates of cookies, but none of them less than a day old. And yet, the place smelled like a fresh bakery. Something didn't jibe here.
Nothing. I've got my baking to attend to. Lars, you're not supposed to be here yet.
Who is this man, Mrs. Kringle?
He's here for a pickup.
Oh, she's really good, too. All these cookies were baked by her, and she enjoys sharing them. I love it.
Good or not, she's hiding something. And it's too early to class this as missing person. Aside from Mrs. Kringle meeting a suspicious hunk who is a lot bigger than the shadow I thought I saw outside, we've got nothing here.
Detective, you may want to reconsider that. I found this. Looks like the rest boinged.
A torn note? This doesn't sound good. Kringle, we've had enough. We want what's coming to us, and we'll get it soon. The rest is gone.
I found it by the fireplace. The other half probably got boined, and I also found Patrolman Coitus, ma'am, and it's not pretty.
Poor Curtis, the rookie. He wasn't ready for a case like this. Mince was right. It was definitely not pretty. Curtis lay in the back of Kringle's enormous sleigh, dazed and covered in soot and cookie crumbs. The poor kid never had a chance. Curtis?
Oh.
Curtis, what happened?
Detective, it's...
What happened, patrolman?
It's his sleigh. It's really his sleigh. And this is his sack, the one he uses for toys. It's still got the soot on it from all the chimneys he goes down. And his cookies. How many do you think he goes through?
Yep. Holiday shock. All the new guys get it. If they weren't fawning on the sleigh, they hopped around the big guy like a 3-year-old, saying how good they were and asking what he was going to bring them. Patrolman, stop rolling on that bag and get cleaned up. We've got a job to do.
Right, ma'am. His sleigh.
Actually, the soot was a clue. Mrs. Kringle always cleaned up right after her husband's big night, like clockwork. Not noticing her husband was gone so long and neglecting her usual routine. And a tall, handsome blonde named Lars I definitely have tried to pick up in my dating days. Something was definitely wrong. But domestic problems weren't my job. Curtis, did you get anything from the employees?
Yes, ma'am. I got the statements of one Glitzy Elfwit, head of operations, and Adati Elfmeyer, head of end product protection. Both claim they saw Kringle at noon today after a wrap-up party for managerial staff. Nothing since then.
Nothing, huh? There are 120 staff members. Did they all go home for the holidays?
No, Detective. This is a home, but they are the parties.
What parties?
Well, ma'am, it seems 5 of the reindeer try to outdo each other for the biggest after-flight party. And being as they all live up in the mountains, it's easiest to reach their caves by flying. Some of the elves sent by the general manager haven't made it back yet. They're on snowshoes.
Yeah, Detective. Reindeers don't like the noise of the snowmobiles, but I have just gotten word from 3 of the parties. The dancer dance fest is unaware of any problems, although one of the elves had his foot trod upon during a mazurka by dancer and will be laid up for a week. The Comet Carnival says there is cotton candy for all, but no sign of Herr Kringle. Also, the Vixen Jubilee says no sign of Santa.
And the other two parties?
The Blitzenbash is farthest away, so it will be a while before we receive any word. However, the last party is the closest of all, but strangely, none of the 4 elves sent out has returned from the Donner Party.
Is that you're playing with, Curtis?
Oh, sorry. A sound effects maker just sitting here unwrapped. Guess some Hollywood guy earned coal at the last minute.
Well, quit messing with it and get me some clues. I'm going to talk to the local phone company before I check on Mince. Then we'll head to those reindeer parties. And I'll need more information on Mrs. Kringle. Curtis, she's hiding something.
Oh, good thing the boss did not see you with the candy earlier.
Yeah, that rock candy is tough. I nearly broke a tooth.
Oh, don't worry. One of the elves is a great dentist. He fixes the teeth of the local Yeti.
My call to the phone company told me that the call Kringle had taken originated in the valley, like I'd figured. But with everything going on, the last thing I expected was for the elves to cause problems, too. I held back a bit and watched.
So, Mincy, back again, eh?
It's just Mince, Glitzy, M-I-N-T-Z. I never graduated to get my Y. Thanks to you, remember?
Yeah, I do. Just plain Mince. You heard a burn down any more toy sheds?
I'm on official police business to find your boss. Thanks very much. And that was an accident. You knew it, Glitzy. You could have said something to the big guy instead of making it sound like I'd done it on purpose.
You were a menace in a toy shop. Everything you made was too real. A Nerf target gun that shot through the walls, a wooden horse that galloped off, and we still can't find. And that evil overlord robot we barely stopped from taking over the world. A menace, I tell you.
I was just following the blueprints.
So why didn't any of the other elves make a working Captain Invincible force-field projector? A menace, I see.
Well, enough of memory lane. So you saw him at noon, then nothing.
That's right. I was just finishing up the books. We need lots of new materials for next year's designs, and I order early. I saw him head out.
You weren't at the party with the rest of management?
I was, but I had work to do.
Sounds suspicious. Can anyone verify that?
I can.
Dottie?
Glitzy was at the party, dancing with me. After a few songs, he decided to go do some work. I saw him go up the stairs and not leave the office. It overlooks the back door.
I have work to do. I'll be upstairs if needed. Office, sir.
So, Dottie, you're looking nice. I mean, you know.
Thanks, Mincy. Oh, I mean, Mince. Things aren't as fun since you left.
You mean since I was kicked out?
You know I didn't want that to happen. I tried to stand up for you.
I know. But it seems like Glitzy really had it out for me. He could have said something.
Well, your laser pistol did blow up the Lego statue he'd been working on for 2 months. He was pretty mad.
It's not like it was on purpose. Besides, it's good we quality checked my work. You know, if some kid got it, that would be just as worse.
Ooh, you're right. So you're looking for the boss?
Right. Mrs. K is worried. So, Dottie, you were dancing with Glitzy?
Oh, don't be that way. I dance with a lot of the elves. It's a party. Besides, you never write or call. We've even got that big cell tower and satellite dish decorated like a tree up on the roof.
I don't have your personal number. You know, and mail takes forever. And I called the mainline twice to talk to you, and I got Glitzy. You can guess how well that went.
As much as I didn't want to interrupt what I'm sure was a schoolyard sweethearts reunion, we had a job to do. Miss Elfmeyer, I'm Detective Doppler. So you're head of end product protection?
That's a fancy way to say I oversee the present wrapping.
I see, but it's still a vital part of the process. Corporal, any new information?
No, Detective. So far, everything's pretty much the same. I think we need to get out to the Donna and Blitzen parties.
Hey, I can see someone out there, near the back door.
Over there! I see somebody running away!
He's too far away, and he's wearing snowshoes. We'll never get near him.
But he's led us to a clue. Look here, just 10 yards from the back door and almost hidden by this tree.
An impression in the snow. And it looks like something big fell down here. Pretty hard. And then it was dragged away. Look, the tracks are coming up to this spot are snowshoes, but going away they're alongside of the drag marks.
You find anything?
We have. Good eye there, Mr. Elfwitz.
Glad to help.
I'll just be up here if you need me.
Let's follow these prints. We follow the drag marks all the way up to the side of the hill, a few hundred yards from the Kringle place. Near what should be a door, the drag marks continued under a pile of snow, along with a lot of other footprints. It had to be a cave with the front door blocked by an avalanche of several tons of the white stuff. A tiny shuttered window nearby had cracks of light coming through. Music inside played loud, so we had to yell. Then we realized what was trapped inside. The Donner Party.
You are listening to a special ART holiday presentation. We'd love it if you'd stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now we return to North Pole, my beat. We've been following Detective Wendy Doppler and her Polar Police Force on an investigation into the disappearance of one Kris Kringle, or Santa Claus. Detective Doppler leads her team on a trail in the snow they believe was left by those who abducted Santa. The trail ends at a cave blocked by an avalanche. The story continues with the arrival at the Donner Party.
The elf who looked out the tiny window at us had a wild look in its eye, a hungry look, and something thick and dark dripped from its chin. A wicked grin stole across the face, and I felt a clenching in my stomach. Then it reached an arm at us. Mince had a device that looked like something the comic character Captain Invincible would use. It seemed to be making ripples in the air between the grinning elf and ourselves. At first, it looked like a toy, but then I remembered his toy-making handicap and how harmless items ended up being a real version of what they were supposed to imitate. Apparently, he'd kept a few when he was kicked out. What's going on?
Why? You don't want any?
Drop the force field, Mince.
Oh, we might get that barbecue sauce on us.
Do it. Again, what's going on here?
Just having some ribs, officer. Nothing illegal about that. Try some. It's hickory.
The plate of ribs looked and smelled really good, and my stomach growled again to remind me that dinner was hours ago. But this was business. How long has this cave been snowed in?
An hour or so. Donna paid Rudolph to stop the avalanche and block the door so nobody leaves and Blitzen doesn't get the high attendance award. Rudolph really loves the holidays, so he's a little enthusiastic, if you know what I mean.
So who are you?
Oh, sorry. Pleased to meet you. I'm tipsy.
We can see that.
Oh, good one. No, my name's Tipsy.
Hello, I'm Detective Doppler. So, everyone okay in there?
Yeah, Rudy will be back to dig us out, and the fact here he comes now. Anything else I can help you with?
We're looking for Santa Claus. He's been missing. Some tracks led up here.
Santa? Missing? I don't know about that. He was here a long while ago, but left out the back before Rudy blocked us in.
Well then, you enjoy your evening. I'll contact you if we have any more questions. Sergeant Speltz, I'm at the Donner Party, but no sign of Kringle. We're heading to the Blitzen Bash. Meet us there with Curtis.
Lucky stiffs. They've got the snowmobile.
Oh, don't worry. Rudolph says he'll take us to the Blitzen Bash, being as it's police business.
Hmm. So the three of us hopped on Rudolph's back and got a first-class flight to Blitzen's cave. He'd decided to be a designated flyer and stuck with fruit juice all evening. That Rudolph's all right, you know. Speltz and Curtis showed up as we were bidding old Rudy goodbye. There he goes. How will we get back?
Well, the reindeer always keep some skis on hand for the elves. A few larger pairs are kept.
Hey, look! Those drag marks! They continue up here. Well, then I guess we better go in.
Like at the last party, there was too much music and noise, so we just entered, badges ready in case there was trouble. As it was, the door was unlocked, and a giant banner in the bright cave said, "Welcome, everyone, to Blitzen's Reindeer Games." And it looked like everyone had come. Reindeer Games, like the phone call to Kringle said, this might be it.
Wow, this is bigger than last year. I've never seen so many elves outside the shop. Look at these game tables.
Apparently your average elf likes Vegas night. A moment later, Blitzen stepped up with baskets hanging from his antlers, poker chips in each. Sorry, sir, can't join the festivities. We're on police business.
Can I help you, officer?
Tipsy? How did you get here so fast?
No, I'm Dipsy. Tipsy's my twin.
We're here investigating the disappearance of Mr. Kringle. Speltz, Curtis, look around, but don't cause problems.
Woo! Way to go, Lindsay. Roll that again. You're looking for the big guy? He was here earlier and he looked fine to me. Saw him talking to Blitzen. Then he hit the tables.
He was gambling?
Well, it's all in fun. Give the guy a break. He spends most of the year cranking out toys for over 1 billion kids. And a 3-mile-long list he has to check. Twice, even.
But we found marks like somebody big had been dragged here.
Drag the big guy here? That'd take a lot of elves. And most have been here all day.
Well, we still can't get a hold of him. Something's happened. But I couldn't say what it was. If Kringle had been here earlier, then what about that figure in the trees? And what about Mrs. Kringle and Lars?
Detective, I found this under a table.
A cell phone shaped like a gingerbread man? Set to vibrate so nobody would hear it. Santa was definitely here. Keep looking, Curtis. Mintz and Dottie are looking around the main room. You and Speltz go check out the other areas. If that's all right with Blitzen, of course.
Blitzy, old boy? No problem with him, Detective. Mia cava, sua cava.
Thanks. And, Curtis, I'd better not find you going catatonic under that tree.
No problem, Detective.
What in the world is this?
I found this wrapper not far from the cell phone, Detective. Another clue, maybe?
Goodies, goodies. Somebody named Goody is putting out specialty cookies.
Oh, I've heard of those. Glitzer said earlier he'd never had better cookies, even Mrs. Kringle's. That's right. I remember now. He showed them to Blitzen last week.
So Blitzen invites the big guy, who just happens to be a cookie gourmand, to come up here so he'll attend this party. I'm starting to put it all together.
So where's Kringle?
Phew! Haven't found anything, and it's too warm in here. I'll be outside for a minute.
Mine detective, we have found a stuck door.
We need permission to break it open.
Hey, it's all right with the Blitzman here. Shouldn't be anything locked in this house, or cave. No thumbs to work a key with.
So Speltz and Curtis put their shoulders to the pantry door, a pretty solid piece of wood. Suddenly it gave way.
Happy birthday! Wow, I thought we'd never get out of there.
Frosty! So you're leaving those drag marks everywhere. I should have recognized it since you're the only person around here without legs. You look terrible. terrible.
Well, I went back to the workshop to get some more dip for the party, but I remembered there was a pantry here and got so flustered, I tripped over something.
That explains the impressions in the snow.
So I came back here after making a stop through Donner's place to say hello. But I'm a vegetarian, so I got in the pantry here to find the dip.
And I came in looking for more of those new cookies. Then the door jammed.
Santa!
Boy, it's warm in there. I've been chipping bits off Frosty here just to stay cool. We've been in there, what, 12 hours?
No problem, Chris. I'll just head out into the snow and roll around a bit. I'll be my old self in no time at all.
Thoughty!
We ran after Mince, who almost flew out the door like he had wings. Outside was Dottie, watching Mince pursue the figure I'd seen in the trees heading down the hill. The elf constable was quick, but the figure had a big lead and snowshoes. The corporal stopped by a snow-covered tree.
I'm fine. That person came out of the darkness at me, so I used my judo and flipped him away. Then it ran off. Mince, I'm okay.
What's he doing?
He knows he'll never catch whoever it is, but why is he standing there? Well, I'd have to have seen it to believe it. He pulled out one of his failed toys and cut down a frozen evergreen in one swipe. It was nowhere near falling on the guy. Mince cut the tree so all the snow caught the fella in an avalanche, and his aim was right on. A minute later, we dug a woman out of the pile, checking her ID. A card said, M. Funkletter, Marketing Director.
Good! What are you doing here?
Mr. Kringle, do you know this woman?
I'm afraid I don't.
That's the person I tripped over!
What?
My name's Funkletter, and I'm with Sweetie Pie Marketing Company. I've come up here to settle accounts with the Kringles after they ignored our bills.
But why have you been skulking in the dark, Funkletter?
I got here at noon and saw Mr. Kringle head out his back door. I decided to be kind and not make a fuss in front of his family and staff. But I almost got to him. And this walking snowdrift tripped over me.
I'm really sorry. I get flustered.
Then I try and follow Kringle, but nearly get caught in an avalanche made by some glowing reindeer. So, you wonder why I'm leery about being seen?
But I've never heard of you.
That's not possible. We've sent you 3 collection letters for what we're due. The last by special delivery. $10,000 for commercials and promotions on goodies.
Okay, so that was the threatening letter. Well, I know what's going on now. You tried to send bills to the North Pole after September, which is right when kids are sending their letters. No wonder they didn't get through. You're not a kid.
That's no excuse. We did good work. Goodies are tops in bakery sales.
I'm sure Goody will take care of it.
Goody? You mean my Goody?
Yep, Goody, short for Goodwife. Your missus has been doing a lot of extra baking lately. I think it's to keep up with the demand on her new line of cookies. And that explains Lars and the pickup.
Wait, that letter I got, that was you? It was so badly written, I thought it was a joke and tore it up. Sometimes Cupid plays pranks. He can't write well either. But wait, why wouldn't Goody tell me?
At a guess, I'd say she thought the cookies would never make it out of the house. You'd be your own best customer.
Well, they are extremely good. I should really get in touch with Goody.
I have your phone, Santa.
Thank you. Goody, it's Chris.
Oh, Chris, you're all right?
Yes, dear. I just got caught in a pantry trying to find what I discovered was your new cookie.
Oh?
Why didn't you tell me about this? They're the best cookies you've ever made.
Well, it's because you just eat them all, and I never hear a word of approval.
But
not a word.
I
didn't...
You've taken my cooking for granted for 60 years now. Last time you said anything but thank you, Goody, was decades ago.
But, honey,
and I have a name, you know. It's not Goody.
Of course. You do, dear. It's Marta.
Yes, it is.
Marta, I don't mean to take you for granted. I'll be coming right back, and we'll talk about this once I've cleared up the problem with Ms. Funkletter's marketing company.
We'll talk with Dr. Elfman?
Anything you like, dear. He's a great counselor. I'll see you in just a bit.
Oh, Chris, that's wonderful.
Well, I've a few things to work on at home. In the meantime, Funkletter, come on back to the shop and we'll get this settled.
That's very considerate of you, sir. Sorry about the letter. I just get so mad when I think I'm being ignored that I don't write very well.
Well, Detective, everything seems to be taken care of here.
Yes, it sure does. Santa was just locked in a pantry and his wife is making a wildly popular new cookie. Our mysterious shadow turns out to be a marketing executive looking for back fees, and Mrs. Kringle will be getting them into much-needed couples therapy. Looks like we're done here.
So it's back to the station, Detective?
Ah, heck no. There aren't any new cases. My sitter is paid up past dawn, and it's Vegas night at the reindeer games. Get in there, you two, and join the party.
Yeah. All right. Wow. A little snow, and I'm much better. Glad you're heading back to the party. So, Spelts and Curtis are having a great time, but what about Mintz?
I think he's doing just fine. See?
Mintz? Look. Mistletoe.
Whoa, all right.
Just fine indeed.
Detective, the thing Mintz did to the tree...
Just a toy that didn't work out, Frosty.
But how did he use it that well? I mean, that was a great shot.
Oh, sure he used the saber well. After all, he's a 5-year veteran of the Force.
The North Pole, like a Tiffany's bridal section in crystalline beauty, of mystery and holiday wonder. North Pole, my beat.
Be with us next time as we follow the adventures of Detective Wendy Doppler and her team in another thrilling episode of North Pole is My Beat. Wendy Doppler was played by Julie Hoverson, Sergeant Speltz played by Renaud LaBeouf, Corporal Mintz by Brian Hendrickson, Glitzer the Elf was played by Pat McNally, Dotted the Elf was Marge Lutton, Patrolman Curtis was Kim Turner. Mrs. Kringle voiced by Joy Jackson. Tipsy and Dipsy voiced by Melinda Maines. Frosty the Snowman by Cole Hornaday. Funkletter, a.k.a. the Mysterious Figure, was played by Beverly Poole. And Kim Turner was Santa. This episode of North Pole is My Beat was written by Renaud LaBeouf. I'm Cole Hornaday.
We follow Renaud's play with one of Dan Schindler's ART commercials.
Well, Mr. Claus.
Call me Santa.
Please sit down, Santa. I have the results of your tests. Your cognitive functions seem to be fine for the most part. Your tolerance for small children is quite high, not surprising considering your line of work. Ability to delegate is rather low. It would be better if you didn't try to deliver all of the packages in a single night. Frankly, I don't know how you do it.
I'm not sure I understand it myself. I mean, how do reindeer fly? Anyway, the work gets done.
It does indeed. I think that for now we'll just keep an eye on that. The real problem here is your imagination index. That is critically low and we need to do something about it immediately.
Well, what can we do?
I'm going to give you a prescription to raise your imagination index.
AmericanRadioTheater.org. An internet site?
Right. You can use AmericanRadioTheater.org anytime. It's completely safe. If you don't feel a renewed sense of playfulness and increased flights of fancy in 2 weeks, let me know.
All right, Doctor. I'll give it a try.
Fine. Would you like a choking hazard jawbreaker?
No, thanks. What with all the cookies and milk, I've had enough sweets to last a year.
Okay. Nurse, would you come and collect Mr. Claus and deliver him to his wife? Santa, I think we'll get you back to your jolly old self in no time.
Thank you, Doctor.
Let's listen in to a portion from the Wrigley Christmas Party from December 25, 1944.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen. I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly chimney. Well, howdy, folks. This is Gene Autry. And a real Merry Christmas to everybody. The Wrigley people, myself, and all of us here, want to give you a little Christmas party today to show you how much we appreciate how nice you've been to all of us through the year. Yes, sir, there's something about the Christmas season that just seems to bring people closer together. And there's a lot of things that make this wonderful day what it is. The tree, the holly, the mistletoe, old Santa Claus himself. But the greatest of these things is friendship. And we're mighty proud that you folks invited us into your living rooms today to share the Christmas spirit with you. But now, if you'll call Cousin Charlie in out of the dining room and get Dad to stop playing with Junior's electric train for a while, I'd like to bring out a friend of mine. He's everybody's all-around favorite and just about the greatest singer in the country today.
Frankie Lane couldn't make it, Jane.
Oh. Well, it's really great having you with us, Bing, anyhow.
I guess it's better than an empty chair. Say, Jane, aren't we being a little informal, a little casual for such an auspicious occasion? Big Wrigley, two-hour show and all. I think we should eschew nicknames and address each other by our full given names.
All right. That's all right with me, Bing. What's yours?
Harry Lillis Crosby.
What's yours? Orphan Eugenie Autry.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, Bing. But it sure was nice of you to drop in on us today, Bing.
Well, I didn't exactly drop in, Gene. It's kind of dangerous around here since CBS is snagging all the talent they can find.
What do you mean?
Well, I just happened to be walking by the building and three vice presidents tackled me and hollered, "We got another one."
Oh. Well, this is turning out to be a pretty big Christmas for you, I guess,
Bing. Pretty busy, too.
Yeah, busy, I guess so. I understand you're appearing first on your first television broadcast tomorrow night.
Yeah, Gene, I'm going to do a little light Christmas caroling for dear old Philco. Anybody don't have a set, I'll be glad to come by the house and do it for you in person.
Just leave your name. Well, that really ought to be something.
I'll withhold my opinion until I see the television.
Now, people who used to just listen to your voice are going to have your face right in the living room.
You know, this could very well blow a long career right down the drain. Enough teletalk, though, Gene. How did Santa Claus treat you this year, boy?
Well, Bing, I had a wonderful holiday and quite a workout, too.
Huh?
You know, one of the neighborhood boys got a football for Christmas, and I was out with the kids all morning playing tackle with them.
Kind of rough, wasn't it? What happened?
Well, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Well, how was Christmas with you?
Oh, big, big. Always have a quiet little shindig to go over at the house. My brother Everett plays Santa Claus. He has a knack for it, you know.
Oh, your brother Everett has got a knack for playing Santa Claus?
Oh, yes, been putting it in the sock for years, that boy. But what the... Look, see, we better get down to business here now and get this big epic rolling. Tell the folks about the great acts we got lined up for them today, huh?
All right, Bing, let's see here now, folks.
Who's on first?
Just give a listen to who's going to drop in on us this afternoon, and you're going to hear from Burns and Ellen, the Andrews sisters, and a wonderful pianist named Walter Gross.
Oh, one of the best. I want to tell you, folks, this Gross boy is a mighty man at the Steinway. Outstanding. And there's Rochester, the Mitchell Boys Choir, and the sensational new comedy team Sweeney and March. Plus that great new young star of the cinema, Mr. Dan Daly.
Yes, sir. And then we've got the famous...
Wait till they gasp a minute. Let them gasp. Please, Jim.
Now?
Yep.
All right. Well, we've got the famous columnist, Hedda Hopper, the Park Avenue hillbilly, Dorothy Shea, and my pal from Melody Ranch, Pat Butcher.
Oh, the Atwater Kent at the Corral.
Uh-huh.
And we have a delightful pair from Canada visiting us, Lise Roy and Jacques Norman. And Cesar Petrillo and his orchestra.
That's right, Bing. And to top off everything, we're going to present the greatest Christmas classic of all time, The Man That You've Learned to Love in the Past. Lionel Barrymore playing Scrooge in Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the lineup, folks, according to what I got penciled on my cuff here. So why don't you start off the Parade of Stars, Gene, by getting together with the Andrews sisters. I'm sure everybody's waiting to hear you sing the song that sold over 1 million records for you. Here Comes Santa Claus.
Well, Bing, I kind of thought maybe you'd sing first.
Oh, no, you don't. Now, you got your guitar strapped on your back. You're ready to go. Do it.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzing and blitzing and all his reindeers pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So jump in bed and cover your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that is filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Your next bingo.
I'm ready. This is your song, huh? Let's make killer. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. So let's give thanks to the Lord above as Santa Claus comes tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Fixing and blitzing all his reindeer pulling on the rain. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Yes, sir.
Well, Gene, leave us not tarry here. What's next on the agenda?
Hmm? Well, Bing, I don't know if this next couple coming up here even needs an introduction, because no matter where you live in the whole United States, this is the family that lives next door. Burns and Out.
Oh, my favorite people.
Mm-hmm. Mine, too. Yes, sir, everybody knows George Burns, the long-suffering husband, and his wife, Gracie Allen.
Oh, yes, the gal with the taboo behind her ears and nothing between them.
Oh. All right, then, and here they are. Here's George and Gracie.
Oh, no, here's George and Gracie's theme song. They follow.
Now, we'll open the program talking about your brother, Gracie.
I haven't got a brother, Gracie.
I was speaking to you. I'll throw you a straight line, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, what a shame.
What do you mean?
A glorious voice like yours shouldn't be wasted just talking. You were meant to sing.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Oh, what a Christmas gift to the whole world. I'll just never get over the miracle of your throat. How such beautiful sounds can come from such an ordinary-looking piece of skin.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
That's great, all right, but what has it gotten me? My voice just doesn't sell.
Well, lots of people think it does.
They think it sells?
Oh, sells.
Well, never mind.
No, believe me, those people haven't got good sense. You're the greatest singer since Robinson Crusoe.
Well, let's drop the subject, Ray. See, I've tried everything. Concerts, popular singing, swing stuff. But they don't seem to want me.
I'm back in the saddle. Out where the thrill is a thrill. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly dew. I'm back in the saddle again.
What in the world was that?
It came from the dressing room next to ours. That's Jean Autry.
My, Jean has a deep voice, hasn't she?
It's not a she. It's Jean Autry, the famous cowboy singer.
Oh, yes. Say, George.
What?
George, I've got it.
I doubt it.
Well, I have.
You got what?
My brain hatches ideas like a bird hatches eggs.
Okay, bird brain. Now, what's your idea?
Well, you will become the new cowboy singing star.
Me?
Yeah, you. Limp Along Burns.
That's Hop Along and Forget It. You expect me to be a cowboy?
Well, why not? You've got the legs for it.
Gracie.
You're the only man I know who can stand in front of a fireplace and not shut off the heat.
Look, Gracie.
And you've certainly got the voice for it. Why, you can sing better than Gene Autry with one tonsil tied behind you.
Honey, I could never take Gene Autry's place. Millions of people go to see his pictures. They love him.
Well, that's because he dresses up so cute in those tight pants. And that great big 10-gallon hat. Well, you can wear those. No, in your case, we'll have to make a change.
What's that?
Tight hat and a 10-gallon pant.
I don't think I can replace Gene Autry.
Well, why not? You're handsome, right?
Right.
You're a fine actor, right?
Right.
You're a wonderful singer, right?
Right.
You've given me a mink coat for Christmas, right?
Right. Wait a minute. What's that got to do with it?
Oh, nothing, but as long as I had you rolling, I thought I'd throw it in.
Well, throw it out. And throw out the idea of me being a cowboy singer.
But, darling, your glorious voice is a natural for those beautiful Western songs. You're the real voice of the prairie.
I'm heading for the last roundup. Saddle old Paint for the last time. And ride.
Oh, you prairie dog.
I really sound Western.
Oh, huh? Yes. You sing like you've got a throat full of cactus.
Wouldn't be bad to take over Autry's career. It really cleans up. They have a Gene Autry gun, and they sell millions of them.
Oh, poo. If they had a George Burns gun, they'd sell billions. You've got the voice to sell them.
You think so?
I know so. Lots of times when you've sung at parties, I've heard people say, oh, if I only had a gun.
I wonder how they meant that.
There's just one thing, George. Gene Autry sings while he's riding on a horse.
Yeah.
And you sing your best in the bathtub.
Well, yes, that's true.
I've got it. You sit in the bathtub, and we put the tub on the horse, and off you go. Forget it, huh?
I would, yes.
Well, anyway, way you sing, it's the end of Gene Autry.
Yeah, I know, and he's such a nice fella. I hate to throw him out of work on Christmas Day.
Well, that's the law of show business, George. Those old-timers have to step aside and give you youngsters a chance.
Autry is older than me?
Well, he must be. Why, he's been making pictures with beautiful girls for 15 years, and he's never kissed one yet. My goodness. In 15 years, you've kissed me at least. No, he's not much older than you.
Well, gee, how will we break the news to Autry that he's through as a singer?
Well, let him hear you. That'll do it.
Yeah, I hate to show him up like that. It's so cruel.
All right, I have another plan.
I'm awfully good, you know.
Oh, pony boy, won't you be my pony boy?
Oh, you are good, darling. Now, my plan...
Don't say no.
Oh, that's beautiful, dear. Now, my plan...
Here we go.
Lovely. Now, my plan...
Right across the plain.
Exquisite. Now, my plan...
Oh, marry me.
Stop that racket and listen to me.
Okay.
Now, here's my plan. I'll go into Gene Autry's dressing room and talk him into retiring.
How?
Well, I'll talk his language, that Western lingo.
Okay, now, if you don't convince him, call me and I'll let him hear my voice.
All right, dear, but I hope we can do it without being that cruel.
Come in.
Oh, howdy, partner. I heard you singing as I was riding by in my posse. But you and me might set a spell and plug the wind.
Plug the wind?
Yeah, blast the blizzard?
Do you mean shoot the breeze?
Yes, yes. Mighty glad we speak the same language.
Well, I'm not sure that we do. What can I do for you?
Retire. Stop making pictures. Quit singing. Get out of town.
Who sent you here? Roy Rogers?
No, partner. I'm talking for my husband, Cactus Roburney. He's taken over your job, and he's mighty rough, tough humbug. So, you better get.
Well, tell me more about this husband of yours.
Well, he's the greatest cowboy who ever steered a bulldog. Oh.
Well, I'd like to see Cactus Throat in action sometime. Does he break horses?
No, sir. 40 years a cowboy, and he's never dropped a horse. Put that in your saddle and smoke it.
Can he handle shooting irons?
Can he handle a shooting iron? Ha! What's a shooting iron?
That's a gun.
Oh, yeah. He's great with a gun. He once shot a whole tribe of Indians.
Sioux?
Well, how could they? They were dead.
I suppose he shoots from the hip.
Of course not. Shoots from the stomach.
The stomach?
He's the man who invented the pot shot. Well, how about a partner? You're going to get and let my husband take over your singing job?
Well, I'd like to hear him sing before I make a decision.
Oh, all right, you ask for it. Come in, Sugar Throat.
Did you talk Autry into retiring?
No, it's up to you, dear. Pull the trigger on the shotgun of your throat and blast him into retirement with the bullets of melody.
Bullets of melody?
Yes. Open your mouth and get the lead out.
Okay. I'm heading for the last roundup. Diddle 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 diddle. To the faraway ranch of the boss in the sky. Well?
Well? Isn't he sensational, Mr. Autry? You know, they may put his vocal cords in the cemented Brahmin's Chinese.
That's a mighty good place for him.
Would you like to hear him sing more?
No, I've heard enough.
Uh-huh, you got to retire, huh?
Call me a fool, Miss Burns. But I think I've got a chance against your husband.
George Burns, Gracie Allen in there?
Yeah?
You're on next.
Oh, come on, George. We'll continue this with Mr. Autry later.
Okay, goodbye, Jean.
Goodbye there, Cactus Throat.
Well, let's see. We'll open talking about your brother, Gracie.
But I haven't got a brother, Gracie.
That's where we came in. Come on.
Well, Bing. I wish you could drop in here at CBS next Saturday, you know.
What's happening?
Well, Jack Benny's going to be a guest of mine on my regular show at Melody Ranch.
Oh, yeah? I was talking with Jack the other day. He tells me he's worried about the parking problem here at CBS.
Oh, why, there's a big parking lot here. Only costs 35 cents.
And that's the problem. Oh. He's about as tender with a buck as my dear friend Bob Hope. He of the ratchet head, you know.
Say, incidentally, how about Bob Hope making that picture, the pale face?
All cowboys and Indians, big stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think it's fair of him muscling in on the cowboy business?
Well, he's been elected mayor of Palm Springs, too, you know.
Oh.
Leave it to those dudes to pick a dud, huh? Hey, you got nothing to worry about, though, Gene. He's not much of a cowboy unless he's in front of a drugstore or something. He's getting sort of a sway front on him, too. He's built closer to the ground than a new Hudson.
Well, I don't mind competition in the cowboy department, Bing, but I hear he's even singing in the picture.
Well, if you call it that, I guess.
He sings buttons and bows.
Mm-hmm, but he sings it like his nose was buttoned to the bows on his galluses. This boy should take a slow boat to China.
Well, maybe he ought to take it, Bing, but right now I think you ought to sing it.
That's a little awkward, Gene, but a cue's a cue.
Okay. Go ahead and sing it pretty, Bing. I'm listening.
I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and hold you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on a faraway shore, out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone.
baby. I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Out on the briny with a moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself. There'll be nobody else, all to myself alone.
Oh, yes, sir, Ben. That was mighty fine, mighty, mighty fine.
How'd you like Paul Snell's little jazz band there? Really got out, didn't it?
Oh, I thought that was really doing the job.
Long
say,
gone, yes.
Say, by the way,
Yeah, Gene?
Well, Bing, since this is Wrigley's Christmas party, I think we ought to get around the piano. There ain't no party that's complete without a piano player.
Oh, not at all. Brief him on our boy, will you, Gene?
Oh, that's it. Well, we got a young fellow that's really rides hard on a set of keys. So we're going to turn him loose right now and let you listen to Walter Gross in his own version of Blue Skies.
Walter, if you will.
Yes, I'm glad you called, J.P. Yes, our plan to buy new talent is moving right along. CBS is buying every star it can get. There's another one now. Goodbye, J.P. Now, let's see. I'm going to have to switch this.
Say, what's going on here at Melody Ranch? Where's Mr. Artery?
And who might you be?
I'm Gene Artery's pal, Pat Buttram, and I'm looking for him.
Oh. Well, you see, we're making a few changes. Gene Autry is now on at 6 o'clock in Los Angeles and 8 o'clock in New York. And Jack Benny is on at 5 o'clock in Los Angeles and 8 o'clock in New York. But when daylight savings comes, Autry will be at 8 in New York and 5 in Los Angeles. But right now, Benny's at 5 and 8, and Autry's on at 8 and 6. But soon he'll be on at 5 and 8, except in states without daylight savings, where he'll be on at 8 and 6 instead of 5 and 8. And now do you think you'll be able to find them all right?
Well, yeah, except for one little thing.
What's that?
I ain't got no radio.
And look, Mr. Buttram.
Hey, that's all I've got time for today. Please, have a safe and sane holiday season. Slow down, put your feet up, have a cup of cocoa, and listen to some old-time radio. Hey, enjoy yourself. See you next time.